Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.
On 11.16 SEN, the world of football.
And at 8 past 8, usually in here, Dave Davidovic and his very, very talented cohort, Mr. Michael Zappone. But in place of them, we've gone for the big guns here. We've gone for the top of the shelf stuff here. Clint Bolton's in the studio. Hello, Clint.
Yes, you've been checking out the big guns, have you?
You're looking ripping condition.
Solid.
How much work do you do? Because you obviously still hit the gym because the guns are looking good and you're as trim, as taut and terrific as when you played and probably spending less time in ice baths.
To be honest, I'm probably in the best condition I've ever been.
There you go.
Yeah. I've gone from being the power athlete of the goalkeeper to a more trim, slim, more of an endurance athlete in my post-football career.
Are your joints and everything better for it, like your back and your knees and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, do a lot of core work, which
how much
looks
lighter
after
are you than when you played?
About 5 kilos.
I've
gone the opposite way to most other ex-athletes. I'm balancing the ledger a little bit.
Look at other great goalkeepers, like one we see on television a lot, who I don't reckon he's 5 kilos lighter than when he played.
No, he's double digits heavier, I would say.
It's a big night. We've got Simon Hill coming up shortly to talk to us about the game in Japan on Thursday night.
Yep.
That's a vital one, isn't it? That's just so important.
Understatement, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Massive understatement, considering the two automatic qualification spots up for grabs. We'll have a clearer picture by about 4:35 in the morning after the UAE-Saudi Arabia game. Yep. Obviously, that will play a big part in who finishes in those top two spots. But in recent history, we've had the wood on Japan, so we should take good confidence out of that. And Japan haven't been going particularly good recently. And Japan also, there's a big question mark around their mentality when expectation rises around their team. So it looks to me like in the media, in the lead up to this match, I've seen a couple of Socceroos talk, and they've been talking themselves up and playing down their opposition a little bit.
Do you like that or not?
Well, it's sort of contrary to what you think normally happens or what you hear normally happen. Usually you take that more
circumspect type.
Absolutely. Yeah, you sort of play yourself down a little bit and pump up your opposition, but it's the opposite with the Socceroos leading into this one. And I think it's because they sense, and history shows, that Japan, when under extra expectation, usually don't do as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the messaging that's come out of the Socceroo camps for all their Socceroo players when they front the media.
Is it also indicative of how confident as a group the Socceroos are because of the form that some of them are in at the moment in their international competitions?
Oh, it's been an outstanding start to the season for a lot of our Socceroos, particularly in Europe.
Rogic, a few of those boys have been on fire.
The German boys, Cruz has been playing, and he's offsider. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Starts with L. Matt Leckie,
yeah, he's
been doing well
on the weekend, I think.
Matt Ryan's playing at Brighton.
Okay.
So there's plenty of players that are actually playing and playing consistently. And I don't think we've seen as many Socceroo players playing in Europe at a consistent level in the last few years. So that's good signs.
Does that make for the couple of Aussies who are coming out of the A-League, obviously Mark Milligan's the most obvious one, does that make it tougher for him because he's coming off really two very, very fleeting appearances in an FA Cup game?
Yeah. The guys that are playing European football obviously are more match-hardened, but Mark Milligan will always be one of the first picked. He's a gun, and I've played with the guy. And
I love him.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
I love him.
He's outstanding. So he'll play in that. I assume he'll play in the defensive midfield position because the captain Jedinak won't be there.
Yeah.
And even if he was there, I'd play Millsy in front of Jedinak. I just rate him that highly. But I think the question marks still remain around the back line because Sainsbury's been out injured. He's over there now trying to get himself fit for the match.
Ange has talked him up in a couple of press interviews I've seen.
Yeah. I think Ange rates him highly, but the problem is he hasn't been playing. He's just been out injured for quite a while. So So he's brought back Sperenovic from the Chinese second division. So it looks like he might be used.
Where does that sit in the scheme of things?
Well, Ange doesn't like it.
Yeah, where does it sit in for me, who watches A-League and a bit of Premier League and a bit of the other sort of international stuff? Where does that? Where does Chinese second division?
I don't know, Kev, because I've never seen it, so I don't really know.
So it's that. It's that.
It's obscure.
Oh, okay.
It's obscure. We don't get any vision of Chinese second division.
Okay.
I would imagine still a pretty tough comp. Certainly, there's a lot of money in it because Sperenovic wouldn't have gone there without the money.
Yep.
So you'd imagine there's still some handy players floating around the Chinese second division, but Ange doesn't rate it. He's already made mention in the media that he'd rather Sperenovic be playing at a higher level, and he's always consistently sent that message out to his Socceroos. He wants them playing at the highest level. He doesn't like those players that go for the money to Asia.
Yep.
He doesn't like that. But it doesn't mean he won't pick them if he feels the need. But he certainly lets them know, not only, I guess, personally, but also publicly. Yeah.
Yep. Who's our number one goalkeeper from your point of view? That's been a bit of a jockeying position around, hasn't it?
It has, and I'm really saddened by the start to the season for Langerak, because he was a big part of the reason that Stuttgart got promoted last year.
And they've sat him on the bench? He didn't play?
Yeah, they brought in a keeper from, I can't remember which club in England, but they brought in a keeper in the off-season, and he's been starting ahead of Mitch. And to the point now, only a couple of hours ago, it seems that Mitch has actually not gone to camp, to the Socceroos camp. He's actually gone back to his club, Stuttgart, to sort out his club career before the transfer window closes.
Oh, okay.
So he's actually out of the camp now, and Federici has come in. So it looks like I've been reading Twitter, and how much do you read into Twitter?
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but
with a grain of salt.
But it seems like he's gone back to sort out his club future, and his club future might be La Liga, Spain. It looks like he's been linked to Levante, which is a club that's just been promoted to the top league.
Okay.
So in the near future, we could be seeing Mitch Langerak playing off against Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Wow.
So this could be happening very, very shortly, because the transfer window, I'm not sure, it's this week sometime it closes, but clearly Ange has allowed him to go and get this done, because it probably suits both, because I don't think he would have played in this match.
Oh, okay.
I think Matt Ryan would have started.
Yep.
So it makes sense that if the club future's in doubt, that he goes and sorts that out. So Mitch Langerak could be in La Liga facing off against some of the best players in the world very shortly.
We mentioned how important this game is in Japan, which obviously Thursday night around about 8:30, and we'll see it on Fox. And the man who I believe will be calling it for him is on the line now from Fox Sports, Simon Hill. G'day, Simon. Welcome to the program.
Good to be with you guys. How are you?
Yeah, terrific. What's the latest news you can bring us from Japan and the Socceroo camp?
Well, first of all, we've survived the missile attack that came over the northern part of Japan this morning.
We shouldn't laugh.
Did you see it?
Yeah. No, that was a bit of a scary moment this morning, to be honest. But the Socceroos train this afternoon. It's warm and humid conditions in this part of the world. Hopefully, it's a little bit cooler come kickoff time on Thursday night, because it can be quite oppressive during the day. In terms of the fitness of the squads, they all train today, bar Tommy Juric. Who's got a bit of a cork in his leg and just sat out the session. We're told it's nothing too serious and it'll be okay for Thursday night. And the other news that I'm sure you know is that Mitch Langerak hasn't travelled, and he's going to be replaced by Adam Federici, who's not here yet, but I imagine will be tomorrow.
Interesting, Simon. G'day, Clint Bolton. How are you?
Hey, Butzer.
How you going? Interesting messaging, it seems like, coming out of the Socceroo camp. Trent Sainsbury gone on record saying that he feels like the Socceroos are physically and mentally better than the Japanese counterparts. And also Dejanak, in I think just in the last 24 hours, mentioned that the Japanese supporters are possibly, some of them are hoping that Japan actually lose, because there might be some change at the top. So it seems like the messaging is putting extra pressure on the Japanese players. Do you read it that way?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting couple of days talking to some of the locals and picking up on the local media. It's quite clear that the coach of Japan, Vahid Halilhodžić, has almost completely lost the supporters. And even some who play in the professional game, if you listen to the words of Miloš Teganak yesterday, they want him gone. They don't like the style of football he plays. And while I do think Miloš's comments maybe a little bit tongue-in-cheek from some of the Japanese players. You know, you say, listen, I hope we lose because I hate this guy who's in charge.
Yeah.
But you don't really mean it. I mean, you still want your team to win.
Yep.
So I'm not sure it goes quite that far, particularly with a World Cup place on the line. But it's clear that they're very unhappy with their coach. There's even been a rumour here that if they lose to the Socceroos on Thursday, that he will be fired immediately. Now, given that they would then have to go to Saudi Arabia next Tuesday and play another qualifier where everything will be on the line for them, that would be, you know, footballing suicide for me. But, you know, that's certainly how deep the feeling seems to be here. That's his style of play in particular, not necessarily the results. And here's the crazy thing. They haven't actually lost a game in nearly 12 months. Mm. But it's the style of football that they're playing, which is very defensive. We saw that in Melbourne last year when they, you know, came and almost parked the bus, really, against Australia and got away with the points. That's not to the liking of the Japanese supporters. And, you know, they're not happy with the coach. So it's going to be very interesting to see the reaction if Australia, you know, were to perhaps sneak an early goal. Maybe the crowd on Thursday night would turn against them, and particularly their coach.
Simon, does the Japanese crowd vote with their feet and not turn up because they don't like the way the team's playing, or will there be a full crowd there, a full house on Thursday night?
No, it's not Australia. They'll be there, don't worry. they turn up. They might whistle and boo a few times, but no, it'll be full on Thursday night. So I have no doubts about that. 63,000. I think there are about 2,000 Australian fans going to be inside the stadium as well. So as stadiums go in Japan, this is the most passionate. It's the home of Aurora Red Diamonds, and they're probably the most fanatical set of supporters in the entire country. Now, obviously, it will be a mix of supporters from all clubs on Thursday night. But it'll be passionate, and, you know, they'll have the flags going and the drums and the singing for 90 minutes. So it'll be hostile enough for Australia. Don't worry about that. But, you know, they've been in these sort of situations plenty of times before, and I don't think it'll faze them.
Now to the Socceroos, Simon. Trent Sainsbury, he's coming off a long-term injury. I'm not sure if he's in line to be selected, but the main interest around the Socceroos still, for me, lies with the back line and how Ange sorts that out. He's called up Spirinovic from the Chinese second division, and we know what Ange thinks about players playing in these type of leagues around the world. What's your take on possibly does Sainsbury play, or who does he play in that back three?
Well, for me, I think Spirinovic almost has to play, really. I would have been very interested to see Matt Yearman, who was in the initial squad, you know, see whether if he'd stayed with the party, whether he might get a go. But maybe Ange feels as though this game, you know, and the magnitude of it is a bit too soon for Matt, given that he's not made his debut yet for his country. But I think that the left-hand side of that defensive three has been a bit of a problem. Now, Bailey Wright, no disrespect to him, he's done a good job for Australia, but I don't think this formation is naturally his go. We saw him get caught out against Brazil after just 12 seconds. Now, that's, you know, throw him under a bus, really. But I think there have been structural problems down that side, particularly as Brad Smith, who's the normal left-back, is not getting, or the left-sided wing-back, whatever you want to call it, is not getting game time with Bournemouth. I think there's an issue down that side.
And Bajic is out of favour as well.
Yes, as is Bajic, is not in this squad, which is perhaps a surprise. I thought he'd done, you know, okay, particularly against Saudi Arabia second half. But I think Spirinovic, obviously, whatever level he's playing at with his club, he is, these days, an experienced international. And crucially, of course, he used to play for Aurora Red Diamonds. So he knows this ground, he knows this country, he knows what to expect. So I'm actually expecting him to play.
Also, debate around Moy and Rogic. Do they actually start, or is it better to have possibly Moy starting and Rogic coming off the bench? Do you get a sense of what Ange might do?
Well, Butzer, as the next player yourself, I'm sure you'd be able to tell everybody that when you play a big game, a grand final or an elimination final,
having a bit of ping pong trouble with the line there from Simon. I think Simon, have a bit of a trouble with your line. We might try and get that back, and we might take a break and come back and try and get a better connection there with Simon. We'll just see what we can do. Of course, the world of football brought to you by SPT Footy, Australia's true football destination. They've combined their love of the game with premium products from the world's biggest brands and an unrivaled in-store experience for all. If you want to experience all that, just go to SPT Football, 182 Whitehorse Road in Blackburn. We can go to their website, sptfootball.com.au. We'll take a break and then come back. We'll hopefully get to Simon Hill, a little bit more of him. And we'll also update you. Western Sydney Wanderers have a 1-0 lead against the Bentley Greens at the moment. And the other game tonight is Melbourne City taking on, is it Hakoa?
Hakoa FC, yes.
Hakoa FC, so we'll keep you updated on that. Dave Davutovic will be joining us from the Bentley Greens game a little later on the program. Hopefully more of Simon Hill after this on 11:16 SEN. 26 past 8 here on 11:16 SEN, and it is the world of football thanks to SPT Football. Let's get back to Japan. Simon Hill's on the line to talk to Clint Bolton and myself. Simon, tell us a little about how you think this Socceroos configuration will line up on Thursday night.
Good to be back with you, boys. Sorry about the technical issues. I thought Japan was the world's leader in that. But,
might have been another missile interference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, we shouldn't laugh, really.
No.
Anyway, the lineup on Thursday, look, I don't think there'll be too many surprises. Obviously, the big question mark is the absence of Mille Jedinak, the captain, who, we've got to be honest and say that's a bit of a blow. I think, again, in a game of this magnitude, it would have been good to have Mille's leadership and presence on the field, particularly when you've got so many talented players in opposition. Personally, I think probably Mark Milligan will step up into that role. It's possibly could drop back into the back three, but I would imagine that he'd start it in midfield. What we were talking about before the technology lets us down, or let us down earlier, was Aaron Moy and Tommy Rogic around him.
Yep.
And then I think it's probably a case of whether you select Mas Luongo or Jackson Irvine, who's done very, very well of late. And then it's clearly a straight choice between Tommy or Timmy up top. And with the greatest respect to Timmy, I think probably his go these days is as an impact player off the bench. And providing Tommy Juric is fit, then he will probably lead the line.
Now, Simon, there's an important match happening in the early hours of the morning, Australia time, between the UAE and Saudi Arabia. Huge in the context of the group and the two automatic qualification spots. If Saudi Arabia were to pick up the 3 points in that match, what are the different scenarios depending on whether Australia win, draw or lose their match against Japan on Thursday?
Well, look, whatever happens in this game tonight between Saudi Arabia and the Emirates, the equation for Australia is pretty straightforward. 4 points out of six. That will get the nation to the World Cup in Russia next year. So I think that's what they've got to be aiming for. They've got to try and put all the scenarios out of their head. Obviously, they'll have one eye on what goes on tonight. I expect Saudi to get the job done, to be honest. They haven't been this close to a World Cup since they last qualified in 2006, and they're desperate to get there. And they've done a good job under Bert van Marwijk, who, of course, you might remember, took Holland to the World Cup final in 2010. They're a much better organised and resilient team these days. So, it means essentially getting at least a point against Japan on Thursday night. Now, that's a tough task, but it's not impossible. We've done it before. But if you do go back through the records, this is the size of the task. Since Saitama Stadium was built in 2002 for the World Cup, Japan have played 23 qualifiers there. They've won 19, they've drawn 3, and they've only lost once.
Shoot.
And that was against the Emirates last year. So that's the size of it, but that's what you want, isn't it? We didn't go into Asia for a free ride. We wanted competition. We wanted it to be tough. You have to earn your spot. So if they're good enough, they'll be there.
Simon, you talked about the Japanese side parking the bus when they last played. What sort of a game are you expecting on Thursday night?
Well, I think given the pressure that Halil Hodžić is under and given the fact that they are at home and that 3 points takes them to Russia, I think they have to come out and attack. And it's understandable perhaps to an extent that last year when it was the midway point of qualification, they were away from home. They'd had a couple of bad results. A point was probably seen as a decent outcome for them. That won't be the case on Thursday night because the last thing the Japanese want is to have to Saudi Arabia in 4 days' time, maybe with a new coach if we believe these press rumours, and have to go there and get a result in the white-hot atmosphere of Riyadh because that place will be jumping as well. So I think they want to finish the job off. So I think they'll come out and attack. Now, obviously, from Australia's point of view, they want to do the same thing. So it might just make for a more open game than we're anticipating.
Does that suit us?
I must admit. Sorry, say again.
Does that suit us?
I know that Ange Postecoglou would totally disagree, and I respect him. He's got far more runs on the board than I do in football. But the back three still concerns me to a degree. We've seen that it's potential to cause problems in the past. And yes, they were very good last time out against Chile in the Confederations Cup. So maybe they are learning the system. It does take a while, but it does tend to leave them a little bit exposed if they're not organised enough for me. And that's my fear, particularly if you've got the likes of Shinji Kagawa, Keisuke Honda, Genki Haraguchi, who caused a lot of problems in Melbourne late last year. You know, those three will all probably feature in the Japanese team. So it's going to be an exercise in concentration and focus as much as anything else. But if they can get those things in order, then, you know, I'm hopeful at least that they can get the point that they need.
Now, the very ritzy job that you have is, you know, you're flying all over the world, calling games. I saw you the other week in the FFA Cup game. You're in a stand somewhere and almost being blown off the planet. How the situation for you in Japan? Nice little cushy box to be able to call it in rather than in the middle of a stand being blown to, you know, kingdom come?
Yeah, so, love the air conditioner, I think. This is the joy of the world, Kevin. Please know this. One day in Brazil, with, you know, steamy temperatures, watching Neymar and co. And the next week, you can be at Magic Park doing the first round of the FFA Cup in front of 200 fans and the wind blowing a gale. That's the beauty of football. We love it. Yeah. Best job in the world, mate.
Good on you, Simon. Appreciate your time. Good calling on Thursday night. We look forward to it.
Cheers, guys. Go the Roos.
Simon.
Absolutely. Simon Hill joining us there live from Japan. And that game, 8:30 on Thursday. Are you confident? Are you as confident as our squad is appearing to
be? I am. I am at least getting a result of some sort. I have little doubt that we'll get something out of this match. Okay. I think Japan, just in recent matches, in this qualification process, have been particularly poor compared to their normal standards. Yep. So there's issues there. And if supporters are turning against the system, the coach, Japanese supporters who are traditionally very loyal, then that says to me there's big issues. And I think Australia, off the back of what was an excellent game against Chile in the Confederations Cup, I think we'll get a job done there, no problem at all.
Okay. Let's catch up with the man who is usually part of this program, obviously, and we'll be again next week. Dave Davidovic from the Herald Sun's on the line, live from Bentley Green's FFA Cup game, which I believe, if I'm reading this correctly, what are they, down at the moment, 1-0? Dave?
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Yeah, good,
thanks. Sorry, a few technical difficulties out here at Kingston Heath Soccer Complex, just to sort of fit in with the theme of the FFA Cup and the amateurism that you sort of see at this level, and I say that with all due respect.
All right. Now, they're 1-0 down against
them.
Western Sydney. He's given them a fair clip, hasn't he?
Jeez.
The romance of
it's all part of Melbourne.
It's fantastic.
All right. So it's 1-0 at the moment. Where are we at in this game?
Yeah.
How much longer to go?
Half-time break. What's happening now is the Souvlaki stand. It's absolutely chock-a-block out here at Kingston Heath. But at half-time, the visitors, Western Sydney, are up 1-0 against Bentley Greens thanks to a Robbie Cornthwaite goal in the 12th minute. The big stopper ventured all the way forward into the attacking penalty area and just ghosted in on the back post. Western Sydney took a quick free kick and caught the Bentley Greens out. And to be honest, it was against the run of play because the Greens, the home side, had some fantastic opportunities at the start of the game. And it was a real body blow, that goal, you know, to concede so early. Clint, as you know, the State League sides really try and, you know, keep it tight in the early stages and try and hold off, you know, conceding for as long as possible. So thereafter, the Wanderers had another couple of opportunities. And to be honest, Ryan Scott pulled off an absolute worldie, one that you would have been proud of, Butzer, against Joshua Sorterio. So that's kept them in the hunt at 1-0. The players just re-emerging for the second half. And it's going to be a tough one for Bentley because they played their elimination final on Friday night. So they've made a few changes. But you know, obviously for part-time players, it's a real, you know, real physical test.
Dave, who of, if if any, of the three Spanish imports are actually playing tonight out of Riera, Alvaro Cejudo and Raul Llorente, their most recent Spanish signing. Any of those three playing tonight?
Mate, I'd love to get you to say those again. Unbelievable.
Me too.
Llorente.
Just rolled off the tongue. The only one that's playing is Oriol Riera, the striker, the target man. The other two, the chap that played last game, he's copped a virus, so he's been out.
Cejudo.
Back that they've signed from the Greek club just yesterday. He's just arrived, and you know, in classic Tony Popovich fashion, you've got to get up to a certain fitness base before you get a run. So Jack Clisby playing at left back tonight, but he's obviously got a bit of you know, competition at the moment. But you know, otherwise it is a bit of a new look side for the Western Sydney Wanderers. You've got Rolly Bonavacia playing in the attacking midfield role, who's come from Wellington Phoenix. You've got Chris Hurd, who's come over from, you know, a 10-year career over in England. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he goes, because he, of course, has been on the fringes of the Socceroos for a while, and even made the Asian Cup squad before he was a late omission. So he's playing in midfield. He's looked good. He's a fantastic player. He's had some off-field issues over the journey, but he's one that you know, I'm really keen to keep an eye on.
Have you been keeping abreast of the other matches? Sydney FC at halftime up against Bankstown Berries 1-0, but in the other match, a worrying sign for Melbourne City fans, with Fornaroli being stretched off late in that first half. With the
Yeah, that's right, Butzer. It was a 2-1 lead to Melbourne City, but certainly that is the other talking point at the moment. Fornaroli, Daniel Garb from Fox Sports tweeting that he came off screaming after a crunching tackle from a Hakoa defender, and he's been subbed off. His ankle is being treated to as we speak, so certainly hope for Fornaroli's and City's and the A-League's sake that he's okay, because he's just been such an ornament and, you know, a delight to watch over the last couple of years. But they are up 2-1, which is good news for City. Jakobsen and Fitzgerald scoring the two goals there, and that sandwiched a 10th-minute De Jong goal for Hakoa. So Melbourne City up at the moment.
Out of the three A-League clubs that are playing tonight, do you see an upset anywhere? Do you think Bentley can get up over the Western Sydney, or maybe Hakoa against Melbourne City?
But it's hard to see one happening here, just because the Western Sydney Wanderers are just so structurally sound, and you know, they look really good. They look on this season. Tony Popovich has recruited well. They've got pretty much a full-strength team to choose from. I think Hakoa is the one, especially with Fornaroli off now. You know, no Tim Cahill, Osama Malik out injured. So, you know, they've got a really youthful-looking bench tonight, Melbourne City. So that's the one where you go, you know, they might be a chance. Only a goal in it. But you know what? A goal here for Bentley Greens. And, you know, they are a sniff. Momentum is everything in football. And, you know, they're at the tail end of their season now, which means that, you know, they're certainly up and about. And although they're only training, what, 3 or 4 days a week, you know, they've still got a, you know, a real match sharpness about them. So, you know, they're a good side, Bentley. They have been a really good, rock-solid state league side for a long time. We've got a number of former A-League players here tonight, including Nick Ward, who's making a rare start for Bentley Butzer. You'd know him well,
yep,
obviously,
yep,
having played against him. And did you even play with him in the A-League? He's played for a few clubs.
No, he played for many clubs, but I didn't cross paths.
He's played, I reckon he's actually played for more clubs than you. How many did you get by the end of
two.
Your career, inclusive
just
of
NSL? Just the two. Oh, four with the NSL.
Yeah, okay. He's had, I think, six A-League.
Just in the
clubs,
A-League, yeah.
So.
That's huge.
Yeah, so, but
that's half the competition.
More, yeah.
Yes. Hey, Dave, you hearing any whispers off the SMS? Someone's asked if you heard any whispers about any potential new signings to the Victory.
Not at the moment. Are there any clues there? Or is that
no, it's one of those fishing expedition from Joe and Dingley.
Well, okay, Joe in Dingley. I'm not sure, mate. I know they're certainly looking around. They've got two visa spots up their sleeve extraordinarily. I mean, they're Australian.
They're in the strong position.
Absolutely spot on with Troisi, obviously, re-signing Mark Milligan and Reece Williams. So I know they're looking for a left back, so I reckon that might be their next signing. There was a whisper that Jason Davidson might be on his way to Victory, but he's just signed with Croatian champion Rijeka. So that's certainly won't be happening. But I am hearing that Melbourne City are pretty close to securing their marquee player. My information is that it won't be a marquee in the true sense of the word. It'll be a marquee, well, akin to most other clubs in the A-League, really. Not to say it won't
one
be
we've
a
never heard
player,
of.
But more an accounting exercise.
Can I ask you both, which team in the current recruiting that's happened in the A-League, which team are you most excited about being different in this coming season than they were in last season, being much better?
Well, for me personally, I looked at Victory and their signings, and Davey just touched on them, and I thought they're rock solid. Milligan, Reece Williams, re-signing Troisi.
Barbarousas.
Yeah, Barbarousas as well. So I thought... leading into the FFA Cup match last week, they were the ones. But then they go and lose 3-0 to Adelaide with a strong team. And I thought, hang on, what's going on here? Because Adelaide were pretty shambolic up until that point. So it's hard to know. But what I love about each A-League off-season is we bring in all these foreigners that we know very little about.
The three you just talked about.
I know. Yes. So I'm looking forward to seeing the first couple of rounds in the A-League to then really get a gauge of these new foreign signings and what they can to bring to their respective teams.
Yep. What about you, Dave?
Well, your spiel was a wonderful segue, Butzer, before you went just a little bit too long. I was going to say Adelaide United. You know, they were shambolic last season, but, you know, you can pretty much, you know, draw a line in the sand with United because, you know, they've gone from having Guillermo, the Spanish coach playing a certain style, to Marco
the Kurt, German.
The German... you know, coach who's got, I think, over 200, you know, Bundesliga and German second division appearances as a coach. My information is that they're training a lot harder, a lot of double sessions over there, and they certainly will be a lot more of a horses for courses sort of side this year. And I think we saw, we saw elements of that last week against Melbourne Victory. I just think they're going to be really hard to beat, and they've got a lot of new recruits as well. So they're really the unknown for me, and they could, you know, really spring back up because they've got some very good players there. But I'm with you, Butz, a Melbourne Victory as well. I mean, the one I'm really excited to see is Reece Williams because, you know, he's a guy that's good enough to be playing in the English Premier League now. He's an absolute superstar, but he has been absolutely decimated by injuries. And the fact that he's playing at the moment after doing his Achilles twice, doing it good and proper, is an absolute testament to the guy. If he can get a full season under his belt... and stay fit, he's going to the World Cup, assuming we qualify.
Now, Davey, surprisingly, you're at Kingston Heath getting poor phone reception, but you could be in Japan getting poor phone reception. So you're not over there checking out the Socceroos firsthand, but you did check them out in the lead-up to in the off-season, particularly one boy, Aaron Moy. You went and watched Huddersfield, I'm pretty sure, play. Now, have you seen... a Socceroo or an Australian player make as big an impact on in their Premier League debut, English Premier League? When's the last time you've seen such a big impact from a guy debuting in the Premier League?
Mate, I was just going to ask you, am I allowed to win the Aaron Moy shirt in the
considering,
quiz?
Didn't you write the questions?
No
I gave
comment.
It away.
Yeah. I've been disqualified. You've blown my cover.
Good.
It's a good question and... I was watching that first game along with the Huddersfield away fans at Selhurst Park, and you know what, Aaron Moy, they just absolutely love him. It was about 3 minutes into that game, and the Aaron Moy chant comes up. Ahoy, ahoy, Aaron Moy. He's got no hair, but we don't care. Aaron Moy, and they just love him. And you know what he's done, Clint. We saw his fantastic attacking qualities in the A-League. You know, scoring, assisting. But what he's added is this really hard edge. He's a defensive midfielder who gets stuck in, who tackles, who imposes himself physically. So, you know, that, then the second game he goes and scores a goal after, you know, two assists and having a hand in the third. You know, look, it takes you back to the, you know, Mark Viduka, Harry Kewell days, really.
Yep.
You know, I'm not necessarily comparing it to that because, you know, Harry and Dukes were in a, you know, completely different class. And I think Dukes, I think in that first season, jagged a lazy four against Liverpool as the Wanderers go up 2-0 here at Kingston Heath Complex, 53rd minute. And that's an absolute body blow for the Bentley Greens. I'm just trying to have a look. I think it's a big the big Spaniard, Butzer. One for you, Oriol Riera, with the header, putting Western Sydney up 2-0 after 53 minutes. So, well, that's going to be a tough one for the Greens to come back from. But, yeah, going back to Moy, you know, he's been immense. And he's a little bit older, but he's got a lot of improvement left in him just because he didn't play a lot of football in his formative years. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him, you know, continue this journey. And, you know, whether it's not for Huddersfield in the next, you know, in the next few years, who knows how long they'll stay in the Prem, but he'll certainly get snapped up by another Premier League club. And, of course, Manchester City inserted a buyback clause in his contract. So, you know, he may well end up playing for Manchester City, which would just be an absolute fairy tale.
That would be huge.
Wow, that's big. Good on you, Dave. Enjoy the rest of the game. As you mentioned, Western Sydney Wanderers 2-0 up now. That was a classy goal that he just scored too, just watching it on the replay, on the Fox replay here. Very, very nice finish. Sorry?
You didn't even need to cross to me, mate.
Yeah, no problem.
You go get your souvlaki now, Dave.
Good on you, Dave. Yeah, I know you're hanging out for it. That's why you gave him a plug. Dave Davutovic there live from Bentley Greens in the FFA Cup Clash 2-0, the Western Sydney Wanderers. Now, we've got this Aaron Moy Socceroos shirt, or a Socceroos shirt with Aaron Moy's number and name printed on the back. That's what it is. So give us a buzz. 9429 1116. Couple of questions. Clint's got those all lined up for you, so give us a call now, 9429 1116. It's a couple of questions. If you can get them right, you'll get that fabulous Socceroos shirt with Aaron Moy's name and number printed on the back. Call us now, 9429 1116. 9 to 9 on 1116 SEM. We're just watching the FFA Cup between the Western Sydney Wanderers and the Bentley Greens, and the new gun boy that just put in a very classy heading goal has just hit the post with the penalty. It looked
like he mishit his penalty kick. Maybe
completely.
Maybe you know, just he's not used to these NPL grounds, and a slight divot in the penalty spot, and he scuffed it, hit the post, came back. It looked like Kusakami, I think, followed up. His header went astray.
Yep.
And then there was an air swing, I think, from Clisby. And at the end of the day, they didn't score, and it's still 2-0.
Not good. No. That looked Keystone Coppish, didn't it? Almost.
It did.
Should have had the Benny Hill theme.
Lucky they're 2-0 up.
Socceroos shirt with Aaron Moy's number and name printed on the back, thanks to SPT Football, 182 Whitehorse Road in Blackburn, sptfootball.com.au. Kevin's in Reservoir. G'day, Kev.
How you going, guys?
Going well, thank you. Your chance to win this. You've got to be alive at the end of the... what have we got? Three questions.
Three.
All right, go on, Clint.
Here we go. Number one, Kev. Name one of Aaron Moy's first two UK clubs from his first European stint in 2009 to 2012.
Bolton Wanderers.
Very good.
Excellent work. Question two. Name the number, or one of the numbers, Aaron Moy either wears for his club or his country.
Number 10.
For Huddersfield,
very
correct.
Good.
Number 13 for the Socceroos. Now, number three, a little bit tougher. Who wore number 13 for the Socceroos in the 2006 World Cup in Germany?
Ooh.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I thought when I read it.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
I went all and I got the answer in front of me, Kev.
any clues?
Yeah, yeah. He wore it for a long while, and he's a Melbourne boy.
Oh,
played in...
Bad luck, Kev. Thanks for your call. We'll go to Michael in South Melbourne. Hi, Michael. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, good, thank you.
All right. Do you know the answer to the question, or do you need to hear it again?
No, Vince Grella.
You clearly don't need to hear the question again.
No, he knew the answer. He was very confident.
Very good. Well done.
Thank you.
You've got the Socceroos shirt with Aaron Moy's name and number printed on the back. Can we beat the Japan side on Thursday night, Michael?
I hope so.
Yeah, so do we.
I'm going on Tuesday night too.
Oh, it's a Thailand game. The game here at Amy Park.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, very good.
The last game in the qualification.
Who do you support in the A-League, Michael?
Melbourne City.
How do you think they're going to go, given we've just heard Bruno Fornaroli's ankle isn't as bad as first thought?
And they've just gone 3-1 up against Hakoa.
Yeah, yeah. Look, they'll be okay, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't really know yet. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Not convinced.
No.
All right, there you go. Good on you, Michael. You got that Aaron Moy shirt with the Socceroos shirt with his name and number on the back. Enjoyed that. Thanks to SPT Football at 182 Whitehorse Road in Blackburn. An unrivaled in-store experience. Go and check them out, or jump on their website and have a look at what they've got to offer. SPTFootball.com.au. Is the FFA Cup I love it because I just love, and I don't get to see Bentley or Heidelberg or any of those teams. It's really good to see the standard of that competition and the national competition at that level. What's it mean to those clubs?
It's great. Firstly, it's great to play against teams that are normally you don't play against, that are of a different standard or calibre. And secondly, it's in a recognised competition now, and that's nationwide. So these teams that usually get to play in their state competitions are on a national stage now. And as we saw, particularly last round, there's upsets waiting to happen. The NPL, the thing going for the NPL teams is they're in the right at the death or at the end of their season. So most of those teams up towards the top of the table in finals in good form, and they come up against A-League teams who are in their preseason. So that gives them good confidence that they can actually do something against them.
Yep.
This is why we see upsets. And for me, these last round, the round of 32 and the round of 16, for me, are the juicy part of the FFA Cup because that's where the upsets happen. And for me, that's the real thing I enjoy most about it. You know, it gets to the final and it's two A-League teams facing off and I'm like, you know, it's fair enough.
Yep.
But the real interest for me lies within these two stages.
Is there a chance for a player to jump out of this competition and be noticed?
Yeah, it's happened. It's happened, but not many. Traditionally, A-League clubs, and it's a real good talking point around Australian football, why A-League clubs don't look more closely at NPL teams and look to you know get in a few more. But it's rare that you see players from the NPL at this stage actually get a look in at
A-League clubs. Is it more likely to be a striker or a goalkeeper?
I'm not sure. If you stand out as a striker in these, if you score a couple of goals, that will certainly be something A-League clubs look at because A-League clubs are always looking for people that can score goals.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So that certainly stands out. I haven't seen many keepers actually. You know, there's plenty of keepers have had good games against A-League teams, but I don't think necessarily that's translated in a move to an A-League club much. So as much as these NPL teams give the A-League clubs a good run, you don't really see a lot of NPL players get the chance to really secure a contract at an A-League club because of this FFA Cup.
What's your prediction for the score on Thursday night?
I think Socceroos will actually... I think it'll be a draw. I think it'll be something like a one-all draw. It'll be a tense affair where both teams will try and play some open football. I'm not sure Japan will come out too gung-ho because I think they fear Australia to a large degree because in recent times, Socceroos have done really well against Japan.
Yep.
So I reckon there's a real mental barrier for the Japanese against the Socceroos. So I don't expect them to really go out and expose themselves too much, but I certainly think Socceroos will come away with something.
All right. Terrific to have you in.
Thanks. No, good fun.
Done a great job and went very, very quickly too.
Yep.
That is the World of Football. Thanks to SPT Football, 182 Whitehorse Road, Blackburn, or check out their website, sptfootball.com.au. Clint Moulton in the studio with me. Thank you, Clint.
You're getting ready to go out. You want to get in the mood. There's a playlist for that. You move to the beat. You trip over the dog. You're not dancing anymore. You open the Medibank app and find a physio. We live in an on-demand world, and now your health insurance comes on demand too. Download the new Medibank app today.